All right, Donald Trump is on the stage at the Verizon Center right now in Washington, D.C. He is talking to AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. And let's dip in here. He's talking about Iran.
1,250 miles were designed to intimidate not only Israel, which is only 600 miles away, but also intended to frighten Europe and someday maybe hit even the United States. And we're not going to let that happen. We're not letting it happen. And we're not letting it happen to Israel. Believe me.
We should have a drinking game. Every time he says, believe me, he said it four times already in this speech. Believe me. Why should we believe you?
Has he said great yet? Because that's another one.
People say believe me when they don't believe themselves.
Do you want to hear something really shocking? As many of the great people in this room know, painted on those missiles in both Hebrew and Farsi were the words, Israel must be wiped off the face of the earth. You can forget that.
See, John Kasich said that in his speech, and I believed him. Trump says it, I don't believe him.
But he's getting the applause. Are they standing up?
Minds write that in Hebrew.
No, not yet.
And here's another. You talk about twisted. Here's another.
And he's doing this off
part.
Of
testing
a teleprompter, which is unusual.
Very unusual.
The horrible deal that we've made. The deal is silent on test missiles.
All right.
But those tests.
Well, we're recording this, and if something of major news comes out of Trump at AIPAC, we'll bring it right to you. But meantime, on the Super Celebrity Hotline, here he is, Geraldo Rivera, who, by the way, Geraldo was on The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am not mistaken, Geraldo thinks that Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. Is that right, Geraldo?
Hey, Ro, what's up, man?
How are you?
I tell you what, I think he's going to be the Republican nominee. I think that he is, in fact, the Republican nominee now, and everyone waiting for a white knight to ride up and rescue the GOP is hallucinating.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Now, since you were kind of right up, you know, with him on that show and around him, and you've known him, I mean, you're a New Yorker, you've been around him for decades now. I mean, the guy scares the pants off of me, but I'm looking at him from 800 miles away. But are you? Is he as scary as I think he is?
Well, you're scary.
That's true.
You know, I've known him since. Let me say, I met him. It must have been 1974. Certainly by 1975, we were hanging out. A much different part of our lives. So I've known him. This is my fifth decade of knowing him, and I don't think that he's nearly as nutty as he's being portrayed. I mean, some of his policies are obviously, from my point of view, hideous. But I really believe that the guy I know is not the guy that's going to deport 11 million people and break up citizen children from their parents who happen to be undocumented. I just don't think that's going to happen. I know that he's got plenty of Muslims around him and African-Americans and plenty of Latinos. You go in his building, you know, you scarcely see a white guy. Everybody who works for him is a minority of one sort or another.
Omarosa does not count.
I just think it's okay.
Omarosa does not count. All right, let's talk.
That was great. I want to ask you about your comment about minorities. You said that he will get 25% of the minority vote coming up.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, how could that happen, Geraldo? How could that happen?
Well, let me go through it. I think that 25%, first of all, as you know, 25% is low on the Latino side because Mitt Romney only got 27, George W. Bush at 44%, and won the election in 2004, won re-election. So I think he's going to get – why do I think he's going to get more black votes than the Republican nominee usually gets? The reason is I think that this populist message of his, fighting against unfair trade, you know, the carrier air conditioner pulling out, going to Mexico and so forth, that and fighting against undocumented immigrants, I think that appeals to African-Americans because I think that some percentage of them, obviously not nowhere near a plurality majority, think that, you know, that's why their economic situation is so dire. So I think they'll get more black votes than usual. I think they'll get less brown votes than usual.
Interesting. Hmm. All right. Now, speaking of all of this, I don't know how I'm just going to make this transition. You know, as a broadcaster, Geraldo, I'm just going to stop, take a pause, and say, hey, you're on Dancing with the Stars. How is
it? Great segue.
The premiere is coming up tonight.
Well, let me say this, Ro.
Yes.
This this program tonight, this live show, has special appeal. So I don't ask me follow up questions. I won't answer.
All right.
But I tell you, if you live in Chicago, and Chicagoland is your hometown, you are going to love this bit that I'm doing tonight. That's all I'm going to
say. Are you shirtless?
Are you shirtless?
Well, that appeals beyond Chicago, I would
say. Yeah, I know.
Global. That's global.
I know. I've seen your Instagram account. Yeah, I know how it goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, you know, it's funny because the people I know who have done this over the years have always come back from it and said it was a great, great, great experience. Mm-hmm. You have had the most amazing range of experiences of probably any modern journalist, right? I mean, you've done everything from great domestic stories to international stuff, war zones, everything. How so far in these couple of weeks of practice and getting ready for the big show tonight, I mean, where does this all rank for you?
Oh, you know, you just reminded me of something, Rose. But last night I was at my first son, you know, I have five children. My oldest son is 37. My wife is out here. All five of my children are coming together. We went to my ex-wife, the mother of my first child, and mm-hmm. she showed me a letter from Barbara Walters that she had saved for when we were married in 1977. Barbara Walters congratulating me on this series I had done on cocaine abuse that was sweeping the nation, you know. So now it's a different day, different drug. But, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I have been at this for over 40 years. I've had experiences all over the place, all kinds of different things. This is way out of my comfort zone. It was on my bucket list. I asked a couple of times before. I always said no for one reason or another. Now I just decided, hey, if not now, I mean, at least I could still walk.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I could dance. That's another issue.
Geraldo, I loved you on The Celebrity Apprentice. I thought it was entertaining to watch you. And it was a fun. I mean, I'm a fan of that show, but you were great to watch on it. What is this whole like reality show experience like? I mean, what's your takeaway after doing that? And does that affect how you approach this one?
Well, you know, Celebrity Apprentice was interesting because there I was with Trump every day for 6 weeks in a row, and you really get to see the measure of the man. And, you know, I'd never seen him really as a grandfather before. Mm-hmm. Never really had a lot of, you know, time to see him interacting with the other executives in his company. And then so it really was interesting just to get to know Trump as well as I did. But what was weird then about the Celebrity Apprentice was that everybody wanted to stab you in the back.
Right.
You know, it's a really individual competition and watching you. So even my own teammates were plotting against me, Kevin Jonas and Ian Ziering and even Lorenzo Lamas plotting against
they
me.
They did not like you, Geraldo. they were mean
the
and cruel.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars, everybody wants everybody to succeed. They cheer each other on. It's a much more camaraderie, you know, collegial mm-hmm. kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, 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 for sure, yeah. You think Ian Ziering's going to make the cabinet for Trump? You think he's going to make it?
Charlie
I don't know.
Sheen?
Has he come out for him? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I'm thinking Health and Human Services for Ian Ziering. All right. let's.
Morosa's job?
Well, I don't know.
She has a job, or she's a spokesperson already.
She's already out there. Probably ends up Secretary of State, maybe. All right,
As long as he doesn't hire Kenya Moore, that's the one, man.
Jonas.
Right, well, any Jonas for that matter. All right, let's talk about the physical nature of this, though. I mean, how many weeks have you been working out for it? Have you been practicing?
Well, this is the third week, and, you know, last time I danced, I was tequila drunk at my wedding in 2003. So it's not something that comes natural to me. I have a dead foot from back surgery 5 years ago. I can't feel one foot, so it's like dancing with a peg leg, but I got it all.
You really can't feel your foot?
I can't feel my right foot, no.
Wow.
But it's all right. I watch it from time to time to see what it's doing. But, you know, they got people have done. I told my mother that I was doing the show, finally, my 96-year-old mother in Sarasota, Florida. So mm-hmm. she tells me, there's people that do that show. They got no legs. You got one good one and one numb one. Go out there and stop making excuses.
I love that.
That's a mom for you,
right.
Isn't it?
I love it. Stop whining. Why are you whining, Geraldo? Hey, let me ask you about Cuba before we let you go here. And I know you got to get ready for the big premiere tonight. It's going to start at 7 o'clock here in Chicago. It's Dancing with the Stars on ABC7. And Geraldo Rivera is one of the stars. And let's talk about Cuba for a second here. The president, first one since Calvin Coolidge, he arrived in Cuba last night. Raul Castro did not meet the plane. Donald Trump's made a big deal about that today, and I kind of agree with Donald Trump about that. That's a fairly disrespectful thing, and I'm pretty sure that if Raul Castro landed in Washington D.C. to normalize relations, the president would meet. And what do you make of this? Do you think this is a good deal for the U.S.?
Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked me. I've been there twice. I sailed my boat there both times and toured Cuba, always with a minder, someone just shadowing you. It was so sad. I mean, it's colorful, the old cars and so forth, and the whole aspect of, you go back, it's like a time machine. But it's a sad place, and, it's a repressive place. But listen, we're friends with Vietnam, we're friends with China, we're friends with all these African dictators. Cuba's 90 miles away, and the way that you open up these countries is with cell phones and satellite TV and American tourists coming around. I think that it's long overdue, and a small clique of powerful politicians from South Florida have kept U.S. policy skewered. Now, Raul Castro not meeting the president at the airport, I think that's kind of lame. I regret that. But I was delighted, I tell you the truth, that the president went there. And I think that, you think about Cuba. Cuba's huge. It's like the size of Chile. It's like 1,000 miles long. Puerto Rico's only 100 miles long.
Yeah.
And it's the same, they're our neighbors. There are 3-4 million Cuban Americans now. It's time the Cold War is over. Whether a nuance here or there, Trump can attack him for this or that, I'm glad that he did. I'm glad he had the courage to do it.
Well, you just referenced that South Florida Cuban expatriate community, which has been, virulently anti-communist, virulently anti-Castro, and against any kind of appeasement. Do you think, and that was, now you're three, and many of them, the grandparents now of the kids in that community were, lost their businesses, their lives, their homes, all of that to Castro after Batista fell. Right. So now, do you think because we're dealing with a second and third generation that's away from the reality of, those losses and that trauma, that it's finally now opened up? Is that the only route that this has taken?
I think that's another wise observation, my friend. I think when you see the generation nowadays, they're eating McDonald's, they're watching MTV and Bravo and this and that. They're totally Americanized now. They look at their parents, more likely their grandparents, and say, what the hell are you still so pissed off about? Yeah. I think the way to get paid for if they have a house and they took over your house is to open up relations, and then you have what South Africa did, a kind of reconciliation board that says, okay, you get this much, you get that much. This is what it was worth in 1959. I mean, 1959 is a goodness sake. I mean, going back to the Eisenhower era. It's time to close this chapter. I mean, look at Eastern Europe. I mean, they were all our enemies then. Those days, now they're our best friends.
I'll never forget the night, Geraldo, that Michael Corleone was able to get out on the seaplane. I'll never forget that.
Great scene.
Yeah, that's
it. But I mean, that's the thing about that really always made me angry about Cruz and Rubio, two Cuban Americans. Historic that you have these two Latino guys running, but their families fled Cuba during Batista. Not during Castro. They didn't flee communism. They were just like all the Mexicans coming across the border looking for a job, looking for a better life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what their parents did. And to make it a communist versus free world was just wrong.
All right. Well, Geraldo, good luck in this. I have you go.
How do we vote? We have to.
Thanks, Anna.
How do we vote for you? Do you have the.
But what's the number? You have the
Let's
number?
Look at
you
here.
There's an 800 number.
Let's vote now.
Can we vote now? Because in Chicago, we do special things with voting.
7 o'clock.
Okay.
You can't vote until 7 Central.
All right.
It's 800 what? What is it? Hold on.
Oh, I got it. 868-3403.
868-3403.
And you're with that Edita Slawinska, right?
She's beautiful.
Edita Slawinska. Yeah. Again, I thought of Edita when I was talking about the Eastern Europe. She's from Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. She did the first bunch of seasons. She took time off to have a baby. I had her husband, Alex, and their baby, Michael, two-year-old, to meet Erica and the family. It's really great. It's 800-868-3403. 3403.
It's like we're trying to sell. It's like we're selling internet timeshares or something like that right now with Geraldo. Hey,
home shopping network.
I don't know what we're doing here, but I have you going deep. Do not disappoint me. You know how I get.
I'm going to do my best, dude. When I do my spin in the cha-cha, I'm going to be thinking about you.
Think about me. Aww. Thank you. Appreciate it, Geraldo.
Thanks, Geraldo.
Thank you, my friend.
All okay. Right. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. I know he'll go.
I think he's going to, you know, he'll stick around for a while. He's very entertaining.
All right. Coming up on the program, we'll have some of the tape from Donald Trump at AIPAC. He's reading off a teleprompter, so it's going well for him so far.
He's crushing it, is what everybody's saying.